Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. In Luke chapter 17, and I got a bunch of verses, I'm going to try and trim them down. Jesus is speaking, and it says, "And when he was demanded of by the Pharisees," it's interesting, if you look at the people, the reporters in the White House briefing room, and whenever he steps off a plane or gets out of a car, they're always rushing to him and demanding to know about the collusion with Russia and why you did that. They're treating Trump just like they treated Jesus in his day. The Pharisees demanded to know the answers to the questions. When the kingdom of God would come. In this instance, they were talking about that. And he goes and talks about it a bit. But he says that in verse 23, "When they shall say unto you, see here or see there," in other words, the kingdom of God has come. If somebody says to you, "Hey, you know, have you seen on TV or did you hear about that idiot out in California, Oregon or whatever?" Forget all of that. Don't follow them. Don't go after them. Don't even turn on the TV to look. It ain't me. Verse 24, "For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of the sky and shines to the other part of the sky, so shall the Son of Man be in his day." When Jesus comes back, it'll be like lightning. Everybody will know it. Everybody will see it. There's not going to be any mistake. Not a rumor of it, not I saw something on Facebook, but it says that every eye will see him. Now let me say about Facebook, there's so much junk on Facebook, and so many gullible people will follow everything. My mom used to tell me, "Don't believe anything you hear, and only half of what you see." And, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he was posted on Facebook the other day, says you shouldn't believe half the stuff on the internet. But let me say, you can believe the book that you got in your hand. But let's see what Jesus had to say. He said, "When I come back, it's going to be like lightning in the sky. But first, the Messiah," which he was, "must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." And we know that Jesus suffered many things. They pulled his beard from off his face. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. I know that if you see a picture of it in some church or whatever, he's got a loincloth, but he didn't have that. And everybody walked past and made a joke when they walked past. He suffered many things. And he was rejected. You know, he's the Messiah. He's the one. But his own people rejected him. His own people put him on that cross. But in verse 26, again, Luke chapter 17, "But as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Well, just like we read in Genesis 6, they were going about living life and getting married and having kids. Just like today. They ate and they drank. They got married and they did all this stuff until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You may have heard of Lot. You may have. "Okay, likewise, as in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. They got on Facebook, they did all this stuff. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus is coming back, and God will destroy the earth once again. But he remembers that rainbow. He's not going to cause a flood. There's a singer that I like, Charles Johnson. He's got a song, and one of the lyrics in the chorus says, "The first time water, but fire next time." God will again destroy the earth because of the wickedness. You know, it's right. We're talking about marriage. It's right for a man and woman to get married, but you can't get on TV and say that. You'll be called all kind of nasty names. It's normal for people to get married, man and woman. It's normal. It's biology. I don't believe in evolution. Evolution's a big lie, but according to evolution, that's how things progress. But nowadays, you can't say traditional marriage. They'll get all up in your face. You can get fired from your job. You can get fired from your job for saying you believe man and woman. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You can get fired from your job for saying that. It's a simple biological fact. Everybody on the planet got here because a mom and a dad. But you can't admit that. In certain places, you can't say it. And I know of people that get fired for saying, hey, duh, common sense, because you're homophobic and you're this and that. No, you're not. You're just normal. And they don't like it. Just like in Noah's day, people live for themselves and pervert things. It's far worse now than it ever was in his day. And God destroyed the earth. God will destroy the earth again. You may have heard of the Antichrist. You may have heard of the Great Tribulation. You can read in Revelation and ain't going to be a party. That's a fact. And not by water, but this world will burn. There's a lot there. I mean, it takes a long time to teach to get to the fire, but you can bet that this world system, when Jesus comes back, that's going to be the end of it. There's not going to be any more crack on a street corner. He's going to shut that down. He's going to shut it down in one night. Now, over the whole earth, when Jesus comes back, all of that, you want to talk slave trade, you want to talk about any horrible thing that goes on, that's all going to go away overnight. He will rule the earth with a rod of iron. His word will be law, and we will have to obey or suffer the consequences. One day, all the wickedness, abortion, it's horrible. Those stop the day that Jesus comes back. Gone. It's over. The abortionists are flat out of business. And I can't wait for it. I can't wait for the day that Jesus comes back and fixes this world. But the world system that people hold so dear is going to go away. And I won't cry for him when it does. But he said that in verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life and his way of life, the same that seeks to save his life will lose it. You put all your eggs in one basket, well, the basket's going to go away. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. The things that we do, our family, our job, our group of friends, the secret thing we like to do, or the partying on Saturday night, that's our lifestyle. If you try to preserve that when Jesus comes back, you lose. But if you were willing to lose your life and give up the things that you do wrong, if you lose willingly, you'll find life in heaven forever. And then he goes on and talks more about the end times. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and in verse 12. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, the sky, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements, the world, shall melt with fervent heat. Not by water. God promised it wouldn't be by water. But men insist on being evil and wicked, and if you die a wicked man, you go to the bad place. You end up in hell. If you want to go to heaven, and you want the things that are right, you have to give up your way of sin. You have to forsake it and make Jesus Lord of your life. You know, we got a president, and anybody can say anything they want about him. You go to England and you say that, they'll throw you in the dungeon. You don't talk about the Queen like that and get away with it. The Queen passes, and you right there, you curtsy or bow or whatever, and if you don't, they can arrest you. It's different over there. The Queen is the Queen. When the King Jesus comes, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One more passage, Jude, chapter, it's only one chapter. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. And we thought, you asked about it. What they were doing there was homosexuality. They went after that as set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Because God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven onto Sodom and Gomorrah and burned up every one of them as an example of what it's going to be when Jesus comes back. But verse 23 of Jude. Okay, fine. Judgment's coming, but it's our job to warn people. It's our job to, if somebody's drowning, take that, flotate that circle, that float, whatever you call it, that donut, and throw it out to them and let them grab it and you pull them in. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Fine, that's Noah. That is Noah. Let's take a look at Jonah. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and I'll read a very little bit of this and I'll explain because it's a lot of reading. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And I'll explain all this, King James English. For the wickedness has come before me. It sounds familiar. God destroyed back in Noah's day because the people were evil and wicked. Well, there was a city called Nineveh, and there was he was a prophet, but he's kind of like a pastor or whatever. God spoke to Jonah, says, look, go over there to Nineveh, that place where they're doing all that nasty stuff, and preach against it. And tell them, 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And they, I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but they believed God at the preaching of Jonah. They all repented and said, I'm wrong, God. I'm wrong. And They proclaimed the fast. Nowadays, you want a diet, and the woman's always on a diet. She's on a diet for 40 years. Whatever. But the fast is to say, look, I want to get my Bible, I'm going to read, and you know what, I'm not going to eat breakfast, and I may not eat lunch. I want to spend time in the Bible and asking God to help. Well, they knew. It's funny that sinners know that the Bible is true and that God means what he says. They heard the preaching, and they said, God's going to destroy us because we're doing wrong, and we're going to quit doing wrong. And we proclaim the fast. Nobody's going to eat. As a matter of fact, don't even give straw to the donkey and the sheep. Don't even feed them. Everybody goes without food until we hear from God. And they prayed and said, God, I've been cheating on my wife and doing, and I'm wrong. And please forgive me. And we believe what the prophet Jonah said, you're going to destroy us. And we deserve it. That's the key. We deserve it. Because we've been living wrong. But please have mercy. Please forgive us. And Lord, we'd like to live right instead. And it says that God said, you know what? I think they mean it. I think they mean it. You know what? I'm not going to destroy them. And he didn't. Now the story goes on. There's four chapters in the book of Jonah, and I've only read two verses. Jonah, he's the one that God said, look, I want you to go over there and preach. And he says, well, that way, it's over there. I'm going to go this way. And he ran. That's a whole nother story. He ran. God said, I want you to go preach to them guys because I'm fed up. And if they don't stop, I'm going to destroy them. You go over there and tell them I'm going to destroy them. If you read the story, and this is interesting, you figure out that Jonah the prophet knew who God was and knew that God wasn't going to put up with nonsense. But if the people would repent and say, God, I'm wrong and I'm going to stop doing that. That's what repent means. You live in one way, you stop, you turn around, you live the other way. He knew that God would forgive them. So instead of what preachers today do, we try to warn people in the hopes that they turn. If it's in the middle of a storm, the electricity's out, and you're going down the road and whatever, and you can't see, and the bridge happens to be out, and you don't see it, you fall in, you drive right in, and you die, right? Well, it's our job to warn, hey, stupid, the bridge is out, right? Wave the flashlight or whatever and get people to stop, because we don't want them to die. That's our message. Destruction is coming. Judgment is coming. Jesus is coming back. And everything that people do, they need to stop, and if they don't, they'll end up in hell. It's our job to warn so that they would not do that anymore. But Jonah knew that God was a loving and forgiving and merciful God. And he knew that if he went over there to Nineveh and said, hey, y'all need to stop that or God's going to destroy. He knew that they would repent. And he knew that if they repented, God would not destroy them. And so he said, well, I want them to die. And he went the other way. As a whole backstory, because the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, their enemy was Nineveh, and they would do all kind of stuff, and they were big enemies and whatever, and he wanted his enemy to die. And he went the other way. And he went all the other way. He went toward the Mediterranean instead of going east to Iraq, which is where Nineveh is. He went west, and he found a boat going up in the Mediterranean. Maybe he's going to go to Crete or Italy or something like that, Sicily, whatever. He wanted to go the other way. He knew that if he went preach, God would save them.
Nineveh's in Iraq.
Yes, it is. And Babylon is in Iraq as well. He went the other way. That's a big story. I mean, that's a big deal. God wants us to love our enemies and forgive those that despitefully use us. That's a rough thing. That's a hard thing. But okay, fine. So they were in the ship. He was trying to get away, trying to go the other direction. A big storm came up and they figured out it was Jonah, the prophet that served God, that didn't do what God said. And that's why they were about to drown. And they threw him overboard. They threw him overboard. And then the storm went away and everybody was saved. Well, it says that God made a big fish to be in the right place at the right... We say whale. It's probably a grouper. But some kind of big fish swallowed him. That's a big deal. You know, you talk about fish swallowing people. Hey, I saw Jaws, right? Well, he got swallowed. And he was down in that fish for 3 days. It must have been a big fish. There was enough trapped there for him to breathe or whatever for 3 days. And he prayed just like the people in Nineveh did eventually. They prayed, and God forgave Jonah too. And the fish spit him out on land. And he hit the ground running, and he found a chariot or a caravan, and he went to Nineveh, and he preached, and they repented. They repented. Okay, it's a big story. It's a big, long story, right? It's a big, long story. But in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus not only quoted and referred to Noah in terms of destruction and the second coming. He also refers to Jonah. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back. He came the first time, but when he comes in the future, it's his second coming. But when he quoted this in Matthew, he's talking about the first coming. Again, both have to do with destruction. We understand when Jesus comes back and kicks over everybody's apple cart, that's destruction. But his first coming had to do with destruction. Now, nobody got destroyed. The only person that got destroyed when Jesus was here was him, right? But the first coming had to do with destruction as well, even though we say we don't see it. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 41, it says this, "But he answered and said unto them," again, the Pharisees always badgering him, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, Jonah's message was, go over there and preach to those guys who are about ready to be destroyed. And along the way, through his rebellion, whenever he ended up in the fish or whatever, whale, whatever, for 3 days and three nights. And the sign that Jesus was the Messiah, was the Son of God, the only sign that God gave to those Pharisees, those religious Jews, that the ones that put him on the cross, was in fact the cross, the death, the burial, and resurrection 3 days later. It says in verse 41 here, Matthew 12, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." It's interesting that from Genesis 3, verse 15, all the way until the time Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. The Old Testament and all the people in the Old Testament, whatever, they were all saying, when's the Messiah going to come? When's the Messiah going to come? And he came, and they didn't recognize him, and they killed him. Which is a great thing, because his blood pays for our sins. He redeems us. What is redeemed? He buys us back. Maybe you're too young to know what S&H green stamps were, but it used to be you go to the store and you get these little stamps, these little things. And if you could get enough of them, you get 1,000 of them in a book, you could take it to the store and says, look, I want that off that shelf. And you wouldn't give them cash. You'd give them the book with all your little stamps. And they'd say, here you go. Okay? But you would take these stamps that you put in the book. It took you like 3 or 4 months to buy enough milk and all that stuff to be able to get the stamps to put them in the book and fill it up. Right? It took all that time, but you could redeem the stamps. That's what it was called. Well, we're on our way. We do whatever we want. We live for ourselves. We're on our way to hell. But Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back. Bought us back. If we live the way we want and we die, we'll end up in hell. But you see, he died in our place. And we know this story. We know this story. We've heard it so many times. We know this story, but it's still true. And we can still learn from it. We can still be in awe of what God did for us. These two prophets, Noah and Jonah, they have to do with the destruction of mankind. But Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven. We know the story of how he was born. He came specifically to die on the cross for our sins.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.